pandemonium reigns.
Week 2, Tennessee is set to travel just over the road to Charlotte, North Carolina, and take on the Wolfpack of North Carolina State. Can they do what they did in Week 1? Everybody's saying it's an inferior opponent. We're going to talk about that and more. We're going to rapid fire the rest of what's going on and around the country. I'm Dan. He's Mike. This is Pandemonium Reigns, here to talk Tennessee versus NC State. Dude, right off the cuff, just one sense of the word. Tell me how you're feeling going into Week 2 versus NC State.
Man, I'm feeling confident, you know. I thought, just briefly, you know, the team speed showed, the strength, the depth. My God, they played 96, 97 guys, which will never happen again in 2024. But depth, man, speed, Nico being cool and collected. I think, in a nutshell, those are the reasons that I'm feeling pretty confident about transitioning to Week 2, going across the mountains into Charlotte, yada, yada.
So we both faced inferior opponents, and I want to take a second to talk about Tennessee and Chattanooga just for a moment. Everybody's looking at this going, oh my gosh, look what they did, but they're sandwiching it with, but look who they played.
Yeah.
And the amount of times I wish I had heard, but you played Chattanooga. The amount of times I heard that on Sunday, oh my gosh, in a Baptist church, just remarkable. And here's my argument to that, and tell me what you think. The thought is twofold. Ole Miss hung up a ton. Bama hung up a ton. Who was the other one that we said? Auburn hung up a ton, right?
Yep.
So, I mean, we weren't the only ones that lit up the scoreboard. But if you watched our game, everybody's saying, you did what you were supposed to do. Disagree. I couldn't disagree more, because I think we did more than what we were supposed to do. Doing what you're supposed to do, the scoreboard might reflect something like 45-17, maybe even like 35-10. 66-point gap, I don't know that I care who the opponent is, and I'm gonna sum it up in one play. I don't remember the down and distance. I don't remember the quarter. I know it's the first half because it's Nico, right? I know it's the first half because it's Nico.
Yeah.
We get a switch route concept at the bottom of the screen. Okay, I believe it's Brazell who ends up. He's way bottom, so far right side of the field. He ends up running a switch dig route. Okay, and if you start to watch these linebackers, they're going, "We're not going to allow this to happen. We're not." And they start what they call in football terms sinking, which means just float back, just sink back, keep sinking back. Okay, in high school for me, it was the play was called sink. It's cover two and keep everything in front of you. And they sink, and they sink, and they sink. And Nico says, I don't care. And he still drops it in right over their head, right in front of the safety. That is an elite quarterback throw. That is an elite quarterback throw. For a second, talking about hitting Dante Thornton in stride down the live line. He couldn't have handed that ball off any better.
No.
Listen, I know who the opponent was. I know, but Chattanooga, in their defense, pun intended, did everything they possibly could have done, did it well, and Nico said, don't care, watch this. So, to those saying, you did what you were supposed to, I think we did more than we were, and I would say the same thing about Auburn. I'd say the same thing about Bama. Bama sneezed and found the touchdown. I mean, and that was a better opponent. But everybody's looking at us, and everybody's talking about Nico, and everybody's talking about Tennessee. But we did – the only thing I wish that we could have done better, or that the statistics would better reflect, is tackles for loss and sacks.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think you have to consider the rotating door. I mean, yeah, Tennessee's going to throw a lot of bodies on the defensive line. They're going to blitz because that's what Banks is – well – that's what he's shown that he likes to do. Maybe he won't do it now that he's got a pretty fierce four, no matter who he picks or who Rodney Garner throws in, you know, however they handle it. And UTC is doing everything they can. They're cutting guys down. They're getting the ball out as quickly as they possibly can because they need Artapius. They need that guy for when they play Western Carolina, when they play Furman, who I believe knocked him out of the playoffs in the FCS last year, beating them for the second time in that season. They need that guy. They need every single member of their team, where Tennessee's got a little bit of depth, a lot of depth in some areas. I don't think it'll be the strategy that everybody's able to do, or if they do it, they might be really scratching and clawing for first downs if they're moving the ball out that quick, or begging their receivers to pick up yak, or again, maybe trying to run right at Pierce. I don't know, however you want to slice it. I don't think you want him chasing the opposite side of the field down in a crucial moment. I think you'd rather try to go straight at him. That's the historical way you attack a guy like him.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, UTC needs that guy, keeping him upright, keeping him healthy. I would love to have seen more sacks, tackles for loss. But I'm, you know, I think those are the basic reasons of why we didn't get them.
The things that you don't want to see against an opponent like UTC is dragging your feet. Basically, Tennessee Austin Peay 2023. That's what you don't want to see. Lackluster performance, and you didn't get that at all. Tyree West came out ready to murder somebody. He was popping pads. Nico was sharp. I thought receivers were sharp. I thought the offensive line was physical. I thought the defensive line was physical. I thought all the intangibles were there all the way around, no matter how you spin it, you know, positive, good things. And then you go to NC State, who hosted Western Carolina, a very similar opponent to Chattanooga. Matter of fact, I think Western Carolina actually topped Chattanooga in the regular season last year. So you could argue a better opponent if you want to. Tomato, tomato in my book. What everybody walked away from that game was, and I believe I texted you this. I was texting somebody this during that game. They were getting pushed around, bullied.
Yeah.
In the line of scrimmage, offensive and defensive side. Western Carolina, this was, I mean, it might have been their Super Bowl. I don't know what the issue was with NC State, and I do want to go ahead and set this precursor. The NC State and you saw in week one, I don't think you're going to get that in week two. I really, really don't. I think you're going to get a much more improved Wolfpack, Dave Doran, you know, whole package. But they're looking at that film going, got to clean that up, got to fix that, got to take care of that, because this is not the same scenario that is Western Carolina and Tennessee.
Couldn't agree more. I mean, I think everyone not named KC Concepcion has a lot of room to grow, and I'm sure he's got room here or there. But he was obviously their everything. He was they showed you how they want to use him all year, and when you've got a stud sophomore like that who had 10 touchdowns as a freshman, I think, don't quote me, you got to get him the ball. You got to do it every which way you can, deep, middle, short, behind the line scrimmage. You just get him the ball. It was, look, we talked about in our last episode, we talked about how good Ward looked in his start in a new place. Well, it didn't work out just like that for Grayson McCall, but we know he's a pretty good player. We know he's gritty. We know he's tough. We know he's a little bit mobile, and it'll probably come together as the season goes for him. You know, all things considered, I think the situation sets up a little better for NC State because the butt chewing's never going to stop. It started at halftime, or really it started every time they switched sides. Offense came off the field, they probably got chewed. Defense came off the field, probably getting chewed during the game, during halftime, after the game, every single practice, every single meeting before that. That bodes well for North Carolina State. The ESPN FPI, which we'll get to in a minute, I'm sure bodes well for NC State. Yeah. They've got all the material that they want. It's going to be, will they have the talent to do something about it? Motto a motto for 60 minutes.
Yeah. So, okay, so that's going to segue as well. Let's get into I was going to ask you what you liked first. Let me ask you what you dislike first, because that seems to be where this episode is trending. And I've got really two big thoughts here. One, I'll give you one of them, and then I'll let you go. The first thing that I dislike going into this game, which favors NC State, is the game experience that Grayson McCall has as opposed to Nico. Nico's only got two games under his belt. One was an inferior opponent. One was an extremely inferior offense, and the defense couldn't hold up, right? I get it, 35-0. Iowa, okay, say what you want to. Last year, doesn't matter anyway, okay? Grayson McCall, been playing college ball since 2019. Okay? Get this. Kid's got over 10,000 career passing yards. Kid's got 91 touchdowns. He's only got 15 picks. That's insanity. Props to him, dude. Props to him. No wonder
Massive
NC
props
State.
To him.
Yeah, no wonder NC State went to the portal and picked him up. Now, no comparison. Potential, ceiling, Nico.
Yes.
Rear view mirror, Grayson McCall.
100%. I love the way you said that. That's perfect. Yeah, I mean, I guess, and I'll get to what I disliked in just one second. The only thing is that Nico looks the way that he should look based off his billing, based, you know, against Iowa with limited weapons on both sides for Iowa and for Tennessee. And he did, again, we're talking about Tennessee doing more than they probably should have against UTC. He's done those things. He's checked those boxes. He doesn't look like the biggest bust in the world as a five-star quarterback. You know, that's good. He's off to a good start.
Right.
What I dislike, if anything, about Saturday for Tennessee, and maybe it's because of the lead that you had, the opponent that you're playing, I hated that halftime exchange, man. Nico was rushed, I believe, on the ball to Ethan Davis where, you know, it's kind of sailed towards the boundary and Davis was a little bit more inside but wide open. Yeah. I believe that was a rush given up by Hurd. Might have been Johnson at that moment. And then the sack happens, obviously. We usually see Heupel dialed in before the two-minute warning was a thing, and I'm not calling it the two-minute timeout. Roger Goodell, come to my front porch right now. It is the two-minute warning. We're not changing the name of it on this podcast. But Heupel's usually really dialed in on that. I have no doubt that – look, that's like the biggest piece of correctable film outside of like Gaston Moore's pick. That's like the biggest piece of film, probably the offensive line play there, maybe some communication here or there. And look, you saw Davis coming back to Nico like right after that happened, like probably talking through it real time as quickly as they could because of how fast Tennessee goes. If anything, that was what I didn't like. Obviously, you hate to see Gaston Moore with the pick, but what you absolutely love to see, and I'm not trying to segue us, I'm just trying to give props, was Nathan Laycock, a guy that, and everybody's talked about it, a guy that hasn't got the playing time he probably expected based on his recruiting profile, who has battled injuries, it sounds like, that we don't really know a whole lot about. Him, Gaston, Peyton Lewis, chasing those guys down like their next snap depended on it.
Yeah. Oh.
Loved it.
I mean, again, going back to what I said in that game intangibles. I mean, we wanted to be there. We wanted to.
Everybody, it looked
you
like.
You could argue that you wanted to hang more than 66. So, I mean, I'm imagining some of those guys came off the field and said, dang it, I wanted another one. I wanted
yep.
more. Let me eat.
Hey, Jordan Ross right there at the end of the game. I mean, he's like, Garner, you're not going to be able to keep me off the field. I'm going to factor. I look at my speed. We know he's a basketball star. If you just watch his dunk highlight tape from high school, blocking it, corralling it on the ground, returning it. I mean, just top to bottom, beginning to end, except for, again, right there before the half, crisp, dialed in. Maximum effort.
Yeah. So what were you going to get at to being your dislike? Thing you don't like.
Oh no, if anything,
is it sandwiched in there?
Yeah, it's just the pre-half sequence. You hate to end such a almost perfect half of football. I mean, yeah, you can nitpick, but almost a perfect half of football by getting Nico hit. I think one of the only times he took an actual hit in the pocket. All those things where you usually see Tennessee and Heupel just bullseyes. I mean, just locked in. We're going to go get points before the half. And it's usually it's in the past, it's really flipped games and really kept Tennessee in control. And, you know, that didn't happen. But again, I think it's the lead that you had. And I think it's a lot of bodies already in the game.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. So that's going to lead me to the second thing that I dislike going into this weekend is, and I learned this from Josh Pate, who I really respect. He said he spent some time in Raleigh doing some media coverage, whatever, who knows what. And he said that everybody, NC State fans included, administration, coaches, have this one circled. This is the one that they want. If you go to the Tennessee side of things, the perspective is much different, right? Okay,
yeah.
Cool. Neutral site game, another ACC game, make it 4 years in a row. I mean, every year Heupel's played an ACC opponent. That makes me nervous. Was NC State, when they were hosting Western Carolina, thinking about us? Was it one of those things where they were looking too far ahead down the road? Those are the ones that, and call it ball battered syndrome, right? But sometimes it's those things mixed in the necessary ingredients you need to pull off an upset, with other ingredients being we make mistakes, we turn the ball over, we don't, you know, things of that nature. Ball doesn't bounce our way, whatever. But, and you could say, feels like I'm going to recant my words here. You could say that I'm reaching to find things. All right, I think there's an argument there, whatever. But just the fact that if they do have, if they've had this one circled all spring and summer, and we're going to get their best, and this is the one they've been looking forward to, all right. I don't love that, but I trust Heupel to get it right. Have them ready is what I should say. Have them ready.
Yeah. Yeah, and look, I just think that until proven otherwise, I don't think Tennessee players, and this is a neutral site game, it's not at in North Carolina State, even though it's closer to them, obviously, but, you know, I think you're going to see guys playing like earning, playing to earn their next reps, whether it's a receiver, whether it's a defensive lineman. I mean, just imagine a defensive lineman gets a sack and Garner's like, yo, come here. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
these guys are going to be playing hot, and I think that's going to bode well. But, yeah, that is a little bit concerning. A little bit I guess it's not necessarily eye-raising. That's the direction I was going to go. This is both teams' marquee non-conference matchup. So I get it from that perspective, but you've just got to make sure that you've got your P's and Q's handled, you're on top of your business, and you're not overlooking – we're not going to be looking to next week to Kent State, but don't be looking to Oklahoma, to Norman. Don't be looking to Arkansas. Definitely don't be looking to Florida and Bama. Handle what you got in front of you, and the rest will work itself out.
Which is funny because I always think it's – I think it's – I find it humorous when fans are like, no, we don't need to be looking too far ahead. Like, you're not – dude, you're not in the locker room. Shut up. You can.
Oh, yeah.
We can. Like, we don't –
speaking exclusively to the team.
We don't impact anything. So another thing that I dislike, then this is really the last thing, and it kind of does feel like a reach. NC State is not, as a roster, who they were last year. Several different new names on the back of the jersey, right?
Yeah.
What I don't like, and this is going to segue into things that I do like. What I don't like is they made a lot of improvements in their skilled positions. Went out and got Jolie, this Conception kid. I think they got a tight end. Wait, hang on. Yeah, a center.
Noah Rogers.
The center is a tight end transfer. Is a Notre Dame transfer. Words are hard. So they went out, did some work in the portal, and made some nice offensive upgrades. What I like, roster-wise, that might have been one of the best linebacker rooms in the country. They're gone. Gone. That defense, roster-wise, it's not the same. Doran will get it right. Can he do it that fast? I don't think so.
Yeah, what a huge accomplishment that would be if they did have their – just their defense with what they lost cooking this early in the season. I mean, we know that there's going to be times early in the first quarter of a season where you're still coming together offensively against live bullets, against other teams. But the same applies defensively, and they lost just some absolute studs, especially that linebacker room. Like you said, we know that Doran is – We've seen them multiple times get out to these uninspiring starts of a season. You know, they're 500 at the beginning of November, and then they don't lose it. They just don't lose again. We've seen them do that. Will it be another year like that? Will they be an emerging team in the ACC where you've got two of your contenders that look like hot dog water in week one and week zero on multiple continents? You know, what team are they going to be? And again, I'm with you. I like some of their additions. But boy, did they have some gaping holes to fill within the makeup of their team.
Absolutely. Okay, so you alluded to another thing that I like. You talk about how they get off to these slow starts and they progress. I like that we're getting them week two. I really like where we are getting them. I think I would feel a lot different if this was a week 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 game, if this was a week 5 or a game 5. Week 2, give me that. I mean, that's a sweet spot for us. We get to start up with Chattanooga, neutral site NC State, go back home and host Kent State, and then travel to Oklahoma. Those first four, I think, set up really, really, really well. So I like where we get them.
No, completely agree with you. Sorry, I was checking out Grayson McCall's stats. Yeah, it sets up perfectly in this schedule. I mean, everything ramping up the way that it does towards the middle point of the season is going to be like a big roller coaster ride for Tennessee's schedule if it goes to plan. Not saying that it's a roller coaster in the sense that you lose those games, but the drama is just right there in the center with Florida and Bama back to back. That's what we're building towards. Everybody knows it. But again, the players don't need to be thinking about those things. They just need to be. Heck, I'll tell you this. James Pierce isn't going to be thinking about those things. He grew up in North Carolina. He's going to be thinking about these guys that he used to face off against, that he wants to show out against. We mm-hmm. recruit the Carolinas, North Carolina, big time. Hopple and the entire staff is going to want to go over there and put on a show. I think part of the strategy here was about David Sanders being there. Obviously, he's in the boat now. So, again, you're putting on a show for the next Faison Brandon, for the next David Sanders, for the next James Pierce. You want to go over there and put on a show and, again, try to flex and prove that we're right back on the trajectory up.
Absolutely. All right. So I could reach and find more things that I like. I want to segue it, flip the switch just a little bit.
All right.
I'm optimistic. Okay. I'm optimistic. If you ask me to pick this game right now, which we're going to do shortly, I'm going to take us. Spoiler alert. I'm going to take us. And I'm going to allude a little bit right now to why I feel as confident as I do. Say NC State wants to slow things down, play time of possession, make it a defensive battle, whatever. I think we can do that. Say NC State wants to get into a shootout, push it, play our game. I think we can do that. Say NC State wants to play sideline to sideline. Say they want to play, you know, north and south. Say they want to say, you know what, stop the game. Let's play checkers. Let's play paper, rock, scissors. Yeah. I don't think it matters what style or which way that this game unfolds, time of possession, things of that nature. I think we can do any of it. If there's any kind of indication that transfers as far as their trenches go from week one to week two, if any of that transfers, I don't like it. I love it. I love it. We've said this on previous episodes. We don't ask our offensive line to win games. I feel confident that we can create gaps and holes. I feel confident that we can dominate this game on the ground to open up past things. If they're going to do this thing where they are like, all right, we're going to keep everything, you know, nickel and dime, 3 yards in a cloud of dust. So Gardner's like, hey man, I got a whole nother group waiting to hit the field. Let's play that game. He's going to rotate not by individual, by groups, and we can do
that. Yeah, it's going to be be hockey with just sides changing, man. It's going to be beautiful.
So all that said, like spin it however you want to spin it. I like our odds.
I'm right there with you. I heard someone, I'd give credit. I don't know who, I can't remember who it was, but someone projected, you know, will North Carolina State maybe not go tempo, but go no huddle. They're not subbing guys to prevent Tennessee from being able to do that. But I think even that scenario, and I'm just kind of adding to what you said in my mind here, but even that scenario, man, the very next drive, you're getting a whole new group. And then if you sub James Pierce and Tyree West and Omari Thomas, they're coming right back on the field, and they're probably pretty pissed off if your last drive went successful based on what Rodney Garner just told them. So, heck, they could get 4 sacks in a row. Turnover on down, 4 sacks in a row. Rodney Garner's not happy. That's how it is. Yeah. So, I don't like a scenario. It's not to the level like we talked about all summer with Oklahoma's offensive line, but there's not a scenario that I like for their offensive line. Anybody protecting McCall, I just think it's going to get them at some point of the game. It may not be a domination or a bloodbath, but I hate that matchup for him.
Hate that matchup for him. All right, let's start to land the plane and call our shots. Unless you got anything else.
Nothing else I can really think of.
Okay. All right. Cool. All right. So ESPN FBI has FBI FPI. P is in Paul. B is in baked beans. The ESPN FPI has got Tennessee 87.9, NC State 12.1. Your spread is Tennessee -8, which at the top of the week was at 6.5. So it's already moving our direction. Over under as 60.5. Michael Walker, shoot your shot.
All right, we're going just over 60 and a half. Tennessee will cover 8 because I think they're going to win by 10 to 14 plus. Again, I'm not saying it's a blowout. I'm saying it's a comfortable win or it's a pull away at the end. That's what I like for this game, man. It much of it boils down in my mind right now. One team came out of the gate with their hair on fire in a less favorable situation than a night game under the lights in beautiful North Carolina weather. And one team was trailing in the fourth quarter, which again sets up for them to be chewed out all week. I don't think it matters. Tennessee by 10 to 14. They're going to cover the 8. We're going to go just over the 60 and a half, probably no more than 65. I don't really see a shootout breaking out. I think it'll be a fairly controlled game with the new rules, the clock running coming into play at some point. But that's the way I see it happening.
That's the one thing that could get us these new clock rules. If we have to settle for some three and outs, if we turn the ball over, mm-hmm. that could hurt us. I'm gonna stick to my guns. I don't know how I don't care how you spin this thing. And it's no disrespect to NC State. I think we're trending up really fast. If we play the way that we played week one, it's as far again as the intangibles go. I don't like it. And if anything transfers for them, that's not good. There's a really important stat that I want to throw out before I get into this. 9 tackles for loss on NC State. Western Carolina hit them in the backfield 9 times. Is that something that you can figure out? And what? See, they played a Thursday night game, Friday night game, 5, 6, 7 days. Can you figure that out? If you can't, you're going to have a problem. You're going to have a major problem. I love that this game is neutral turf. I wish it was a home and home. I like that even more for us. I think we're going to travel really well. I'm going to take us to win this game. I'm going to take us to cover the point spread. I'm getting more and more optimistic as the week is trending along. Something that we didn't mention going into this is HB2 is clear. Cam Seldon looks like he's ready to go.
Boy.
If Samson needs a breather, that only creates more problems. And I think we have an HB3 in Deshaun Bishop. So if we can put the ball in, if we can just be who we are, I think NC State has a major problem. I am going to take the under. I don't know that we're going to quite hit 60 and a half. Just because I don't know that NC State will carry their weight. I don't know. Which this is now leaning towards a significant point difference in my prediction. But nonetheless, I'm going to take Tennessee. You're taking Tennessee. We're both taking them to cover the point spread. Were you over or under on 60 and a half?
I am over. I see where you're coming from, though. But I could see North Carolina State not pulling their weight on that. But I am going just over. My scenario, I've got about literally 62 points.
Here's my game plan, man. If you don't let this Concepcion kid, and I don't think you isolate him. I don't think you put him under a spotlight. But when you're in zones and you see him crossing your face, make him feel you. You know?
Yes.
I look for him to get a lot of stuff underneath, you know, drags,
oh, I would think so.
Arrows, stuff like that. Look, and just make it difficult. Make it outfit. If you out physical them, I like this from sunrise to sunset.
I'm with you, man. Just bump him, punch him at the line of scrimmage, not literally, but get him off his route, get him out of his flow. Chances are you've been playing football longer than he is as a true sophomore. Get him off his line. Hit him hard when he's got the ball. Keep it in front of you. You know, don't let him go hot against you. And then I think they've got to find a lot more ways to win than Tennessee would have to if something like that happened.
Dude, absolutely. So y'all heard it from us first. It's Balls by 50. All right, that's going to bring us to the end of this episode. Before we hop off here, though, we're going to rapid fire the rest of the college football weekend around the country. Got a good one. Big noon kickoff, 12 o'clock. Texas traveling to Michigan. Number 3, Texas. Number 10, Michigan. Spread is Texas, -7.5. What you got?
Woo! 7.5 on the road is strong, man. Oh, Texas is winning this game. And I think they're going to narrowly cover that. Michigan... What the heck, Michigan? What the heck?
Okay.
You know, you looked like Oregon in week one, but yeah, Texas.
I'm with you. I'm going to take Texas 2, and I'm going to do the thing that I tell you not to do, and I'm going to talk about transitive property. And Michigan looked real, real bad, and Texas looked real, real good. And I look for Texas to do more than cover, and Ann Arbor is going to be clearing the big house top of the fourth quarter. Arkansas traveling to Oklahoma State. Okie State, 7.5. Over under 62.5.
Now, I don't have the transitive property in front of me, but I know that Arkansas is not rematching with Arkansas Pine Bluff, and I'm going to lean Oklahoma State on the road to cover that number, win the game. Arkansas State, Oklahoma State at home. Pardon my French there for confusing Butch Jones' program into this. Oklahoma State covers, and they win because it's not Arkansas Pine Bluff.
Fair enough. Mike Gundy does this thing where he drops ones that he should not. See Western Michigan circa 2013, 14, 15, something like that. I don't think it's going to happen on Saturday. I'm going to take Oklahoma State to win. I'm not going to take them to cover. Georgia Tech, number 23 ranked Georgia Tech, traveling to Syracuse. Georgia Tech minus 2.5, over under 61.5.
I'm riding with Georgia Tech until they show me something worse than what they've done so far, which has been pretty dang good. So give me Georgia Tech to win that game outright, and I think they'll win it by more than a field goal. So they're going to cover.
Give me Georgia Tech to win that one outright. They're gonna run up and down. I look forward to seeing that one in hindsight. California traveling to Auburn. I want to bring this one up because Auburn lit up the scoreboard week one. Auburn minus 13, over under 53.5.
Doesn't it look like Auburn's figured some things out and maybe they know how to use their personnel? They've obviously improved their personnel. I do not like anything that's been happening for Cal since, I don't know, Marshawn Lynch left the situation. So give me Auburn, man. Give me Auburn to beat them for 2 years in a row. They're going to sweep this series.
Auburn's at home. Give me Auburn at home. And they don't cover. They don't cover. They don't cover. South Carolina at Kentucky. These two squads learned recently despise each other. It's got Kentucky minus 10 here with an over-under of 42.5. Feels like a reach. Feels a little high. And I'm going to say this before you make your thoughts there. They both need this one. This one, boy, for both of them, sets the tone for the rest of their schedule. They both need it. What you got?
Yeah, South Carolina's doing that win-hunting thing that Florida's going to be trying to do. Mm. They just don't get talked about because they're not Florida. Yeah, Kentucky's the better team right now, man. I was a little bit impressed by them low-key. All the delays, still handling their business against a Southern Miss that's usually pretty tough in really no matter who they're playing. Yeah. I have zero faith in South Carolina having 100 total yards of offense based on what I saw. So give me Kentucky. All the numbers go to Kentucky.
I don't like anything that I saw to South Carolina. Give me Kentucky, period. Just give me Kentucky. And it's at home? Okay, yeah. Give me that one.
100% of the way.
Yeah, dude. I'm going to end with this one. South Florida traveling to Tuscaloosa, Alabama. This one was a barn burner last year. Bama was getting out physical. But Vegas likes them minus 31 with an over-under of 63.5. Now, before you make your pick, I want to call you out again for what you did. I'm only doing this because I love you. You said they were going to double it last week, they won't cover. That's what you said, and they doubled it.
Yep.
I appreciate that to my friend Jake. Anyway, what you got here?
Brief note that I believe it was 38 originally when we talked about our Alabama and Western Kentucky, which they did not double, my math tells me. But yeah, you've had 37.5 over Western Kentucky. Alex Golish talked a little smack. I don't know why you do that if you're South Florida and they're Alabama and you're playing in Tuscaloosa. Milroe threw it like 7 times and had 200 yards and about 6 touchdowns. And unfortunately, that's probably what you'll get again.
There you go. Hey, I was wrong. We actually got at least one more right here. Colorado traveling to Nebraska. This one's going to be on NBC and Peacock. Nebraska, minus 7.5, over under 58.5.
Boy, it feels like Vegas is playing with some Vegas is playing with some people's money there, man, because Lord knows how everybody supposedly loves Colorado and Dion. But the better football team, the better coached team is going to win this year. It's going to be the Nebraska Cornhuskers. I don't think they'll cover because I think Colorado is going to do some nifty things here and there. They're going to Travis Hunter is going to moss somebody, or he's going to just fall down and catch it between his feet somehow. He's going to do some silly things because that's how good he is. But Nebraska is going to win this game, and I'm going to say that they don't cover in the process.
I'm going to make the same prediction, and I look forward to seeing this one. I kind of regret that it's kicking off at the same time as the Tennessee game. Would love to see this stadium on fire. I think it is going to be on fire. I think this comes down to, can the Colorado superstars beat the entire Nebraska team? I don't know that they can. I think Colorado still has offensive line issues. I look for Matt Rhule and Nebraska to be significantly improved going into year two. I'm going to take Nebraska, but I'm not going to take them to cover. App State travels to Clemson. This is definitely noteworthy. Clemson minus 17, over under 53.5. This one is on upset watch.
You're dang straight it's on upset watch. I know Dabo's defended what happened and saying they got away in the third quarter, and it may have to an extent. You don't schedule this team. You do not do it. I don't know why you ever do it. ACC has been put on alert by App State for way too many times now. Mm-hmm. Clemson wins the game. What was the number again?
17.
They do not cover 17. They do win the game. It's probably going to be ugly.
Here's my question. Does Clemson lose to Georgia twice? I think they do. I'm going to pick App State to go in and get an upset over Clemson. Too many things offensively that I did not like out of Clemson. I get it. They get bullied and pushed around. And if I'm wrong about this, whoop-de-doo. I don't have any money on the line. So I'll shoot my shot and I'll take App State. And here's the thing. This is what it comes down to. You alluded to it. Stop scheduling these guys. Stop scheduling App State. Why would you do this to yourself? Don't do. And you know what? App State's just Clemson's just a little short drive down the road, Boone, North Carolina to Clemson, South Carolina. There's going to be a lot of crossover there. I've already said it. There's some crossover there in the fan base and whatnot. Clemson's favor is that it's at night in Death Valley. Anyway, thank you guys so much for hanging out with us as we talk Tennessee and NC State, as we rapid fire the rest of the country. Oh, you've got another thought.
I got one more game for you. Just give me who covers, who wins. Florida State with the bye week favored by 3.5. Who you got? I am so sorry. I don't want to see them where they're at. I couldn't leave that out.
I'm going to take the bye week. I'm Dan. He's Mike. Make sure you hit like and subscribe on this video. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. This is Pandemonium Reigns. God bless. Go Vols.
GBO.
Pandemonium Reigns.